Good morning. This is 88.3 WLIW-FM Local News. I'm Michael Mackey. The town of East Hampton has appealed a New York State Court judge's ruling that rejected its attempt to close the East Hampton Airport in Waynescott, town officials announced Tuesday. The town also is restarting the environmental review process for the airport. Jean-Paul Salamanca reports on Newsday.com that the town filed a notice of appeal on November 9th with the Second Judicial Department of New York State Supreme Court's Appellate Division in Brooklyn after the October 19th decision from State Supreme Court Justice Paul J. Baisley that temporarily blocked the town from closing the airport, according to a statement issued by the East Hampton Town Board after its November 15th meeting. Additionally, the town stated it will immediately restart New York State's Environmental Quality Review Act process, CEQA, to produce an environmental impact statement. That document would analyze possible impacts from airport use restrictions or other decisions that the town might make about the airport. Quote, the town board is resolved to comply with all applicable laws and court rulings while continuing to act on behalf of the community that has expressed a desire for changes that will reduce the negative impacts of the airport on East Hampton residents, the town statement says. Multiple groups have sued the town of East Hampton to prevent the airport's closure, including residents and Manhattan-based helicopter ride-sharing service Blade, arguing the town did not follow CEQA guidelines and were attempting to circumvent the FAA's Airport Noise and Capacity Act of 1990. A Long Island-based charter school network announced this week that it has received a surprise gift in the form of a $7 million donation from one of the country's most active billionaire philanthropists. John Hildebrand reports on Newsday.com that administrators of the Academy Charter School Organization, headquartered in Hempstead, told Newsday they did not solicit the contribution but welcomed the support. The donor is Mackenzie Scott, a prize-winning novelist who helped build the Amazon company with her husband, Jeff Bezos, before the couple divorced in 2019. We are excited, honored, and humbled to be recognized for such an award, said Bishop Barrington Goldson, CEO of the Charter School Group. He described the donation as an acknowledgement of his organization's success in providing quality educations to students in underserved communities. The Academy operates charter schools in Hempstead, Uniondale, and Wyandanch. Wayne Houghton, the executive director, said the bulk of Scott's $7 million contribution will be used to provide extra student services at the Wyandanch location, which operates in a converted hardware store. The East Hampton School Board has authorized the use of $994,993 from a recently crafted repair reserve fund to pay for maintenance projects and the replacement of equipment district-wide. Desiree Keegan reports on 27East.com that in May, voters approved the construction of the reserve, which acts as a savings account and can store $5 million over a 10-year period. It is fueled by the unused funds at the end of each fiscal year and is currently holding $2 million plus 4 months of interest after a motion to move the money at the end of June. The withdrawal of the money comes with no direct tax impact. Plans were presented at a public hearing prior to the November 15th meeting, during which Assistant Superintendent for Business Sam Schneider detailed the deteriorated work across the district. Engineering crews on Beach Lane and Waynescott have begun the process of drilling a 2,500-foot tunnel beneath Beach Lane, the Ocean Beach, and the seafloor to make way for the power cable from South Fork Wind after a federal judge declined to stay the work in response to a lawsuit brought by a Waynescott resident. Michael Wright reports on 27East.com that on Tuesday, an industrial lift boat named the Jill appeared in the waters off Waynescott, where it will sit or stand for the next several months. The vessel, a self-propelled barge that can lift its 500-ton decks more than 150 feet above the ocean surface on three steel legs, will serve as the offshore base for the South Fork Wind Farm power cable installation project through the winter, able to ride out winter storms by hoisting itself above waves. On land, concealed behind a 16-foot high sound-absorbing barriers mounted on steel girders pounded into the Beach Lane roadway, a horizontal directional drill rig began boring pilot holes this week, a spokesperson for the project's owners, Orsted and Eversource, said. The drill rig, which resembles an oil derrick tilted at an angle, will bore the 2-foot cable conduit out some 1,700 feet from the shore, where it will meet the 50-mile cable leading to the 12 South Fork Wind offshore turbines, which are due to be erected next year. The power cable runs beneath 2 miles of wainscot roads from Beach Lane to the Long Island Railroad tracks. The wind farm is expected to go online in late 2023. PSEG Long Island again ranked last among large eastern utilities in a J.D. Power business customer satisfaction survey, a trend that could cost it bonus money as LIPA trustees raised questions about its performance during a board meeting yesterday. Mark Harrington reports on Newsday.com that the results were reported as the LIPA board was presented the 2023 proposed budget, which increases LIPA's revenue next year to $4.14 billion, while projecting lower customer bills next year. Trustees will vote on the budget next month. PSEG's score on the J.D. Power survey dropped to 710 of a possible 1,000, compared with 737 last year, according to J.D. Power figures. The surveys are conducted among hundreds of Long Island businesses during two waves over the year. PSEG was last among 12 large Eastern Region utilities, while its sister company, PSE&G of New Jersey, ranked second with 792. National Grid's upstate electric utility scored second to last in the Eastern ranking. This evening from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Southampton Arts Center, Southampton Village Mayor Jesse Warren will participate in a panel discussion on water quality hosted by the League of Conservation Voters and Roe Environmental Consulting and Management. The discussion will focus on ongoing and future water quality work in Southampton and across Long Island. The audience will hear from experts on the importance of protecting valuable water resources, what can be done to continue that work, and how that effort will impact generations of Long Islanders. Mayor Warren will discuss work he has done and work he'd like to do to improve the village of Southampton's water quality. That's tonight from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Southampton Arts Center on Jobes Lane in Southampton Village. A complex system of sea gates and concrete walls with lifting panels are needed to protect Long Island's vulnerable South Shore communities from storm surges and rising sea levels, according to a study by a Stony Brook University professor. Quote, "Protecting Long Island from future sandy flood events, a South Shore sea gate study argues that a layered defense system is necessary to protect low-lying coastal communities from conditions similar to the unprecedented flooding experienced during Superstorm Sandy 10 years ago. Robert Brodsky reports on Newsday.com that the study, which was funded through a grant by the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, was presented yesterday to the Long Island Regional Planning Council during a virtual meeting. To put it bluntly, how many people need to drown before we get action, said Malcolm Bowman, the study's author and a professor of oceanography at Stony Brook School of Marine and Atmospheric Sciences. Do we have to wait for Sandy number 2 to come roaring by before we wake up and say this was not a freak of nature? In the wake of Sandy, a now former member of the State Assembly solicited Bowman to assess the feasibility of installing sea gates, which would serve as storm surge barriers in the Great South Bay from the East Rockaway Inlet to the west to the Shinnecock Inlet to the east. While some important work has been done to improve our resiliency and protection, we still have a lot of work to do, said John Cameron, chairman of the Regional Planning Council. Long Island is still very exposed to major storm events and flood damage. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.